Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We ask you, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins, and we thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day, and we thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another Shabbat. We ask, Abba, that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you once again for giving us the breath of life. Thank you for protecting us for another week, Father. Giving us, showing us lessons and giving us blessings, Father. Giving us the strength when we need it, Father. Showing where we messed up also, Father, that we learn from our mistakes and we become better and stronger sons and daughters for you, Father. We thank you, Father, for healing us. We especially thank you, Father, for healing our Ema and anyone else who is hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father. Continue to keep your hand on us. Continue to bring us along, Father, according to your will, little by little, Father, strengthening us and continuing to show us your way, Father. We ask, Father, that you open up our minds to your word, Father, that we be fertile ground, Father, for you to plant your seed within, that we may bear fruit that is suitable for you. We ask, Father, that you continue to put your spirit upon us in all ways, Father, and that we don't forget the practical things as we continue to learn your word, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed be you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahushua, who chooses the prophet, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shalom, family. Shabbat a day well. Welcome to Magnify the Torah, Make It Honorable. And today we're going to be talking about seeking peace. More importantly, whose peace are you seeking? And, you know, the number one answer and everybody's answer should be, I'm seeking my own peace. But when you say you're seeking your own peace, where does your peace lie? You know, where is it? Who is it with? Is it with Yahweh or is it some other source? Something within yourself that you haven't come to grips with. What is disturbing our peace? Because when Yahweh says, seek peace, and he uses the word peace, and that word shalom, it means to be complete. It means to lack nothing. So we are taught to seek the kingdom of Yahweh first. He said, and everything else will be added. So what is the everything else? Let's see what the word says about that. So first of all, we're going to start in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, 14, verse 14. Psalms 34, 14. And it reads, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So here's one of the Psalms. I believe David wrote this. Yep, David wrote this. And he's telling us, giving us instructions. Number one, don't do evil. Leave evil alone. Because when we're doing evil, we can't find peace. He said we do good, right? So leave the evil alone and start doing good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that word pursue literally means that if you look in the Hebrew, that word is number 7291, and that word is radaf, and it means literally, it means to run after. It says usually with hostile intent because of time gone by. But what you're doing, you run after peace. Run after this completeness, this wholeness. In other words, there's a work that we have to do in order to obtain peace. Now, think about some of the things that we've been taught and other lessons that we've been going through. And one of the things that our brother Yarel spoke about, and he's starting to go through the book of Yahushua or the book of Joshua again. And this is the times, you know, we've been through the book already. And it's talking about the times when Joshua comes through the land, conquering the land. Well, in order for us to get the peace that we're seeking, we have to put some work into it. We have to fight for it. It's sort of like, you know, but Ecclesiastes says there is a time appointed for everything under the sun. And then he starts naming, and if you look at everything that he names, they're opposites of one another. Why are they opposites of one another? He said there's a time, and he literally said it's a time for war, and it's a time for peace. They're opposites of one another. Why is that? He said there's a time to gather stones, gather, and there's a time to loose. They're opposites of one another. But there's a time appointed for everything under the sun. If we really want that peace and we got this warring going on, how are we going to stop the warring? And more importantly, like we said, where does your peace lie? Are you going to fight for the peace of the world? Are you going to fight for the peace of Yahweh? Are you going to fight for the peace of your own imagination, interpretation, your own desires and lusts? What are you fighting for? What are you trying to make peace with? What completes you? But David says, whatever it is, pursue it. He said, but don't let it be evil. So number one, evil be the thing that completes you. let good complete you. Right? He says, seek peace and pursue it. Now, next verse. Peter chapter 3. Verses 8 through 11. Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And this reads, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So when people are coming at you, how do we fight their fire? We fight their evil with love. We're gonna see something else a little later on, which, you know, echoes this sentiment. He said, "You fight their evil with this love. Don't act in the manner they do. Why? Because if you act in the manner they do, how are you gonna have peace?" Because they're obviously coming at you like that because they don't have peace. They're missing it. They're missing something. Right? So he says, verse 10, he said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. How much James, the whole book of James talks about how much trouble this tongue can get you in. How evil the tongue can be. It talks about how a world of deceit. I forget the exact words it talks about, but nothing good is coming from it. Even Yahushua, when he says, he talks about the mind and talking about being washed and unclean. He said those things, being defiled. He said those things, not washing and eating with unwashed hands don't defile you. He says the stuff that's already in you that defile you. Because out of the man comes murders, deceits, adulteries, this, that, and another. And he talks about these things already being in us. And our speech and our words and our actions defile us because we're evil. We're unpeaceable in our regular state. We're not at peace. At any given time, war breaks out anywhere. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the world that we are unaware of. Man is at constant war, constant going back and forth, at constant variance with one another. Can't be peaceable with one another. So what are they missing? So he says, verse 10 again, he says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And that's the same thing that David wrote. That word for ensue, it is that's in the Greek, number 1377. And that word is dioko. And it literally means to flee compared to... It says to flee A prolonged and causative form of a primary verb means to flee. Compare the basis. He says to pursue, by implication, to persecute. So he's using the exact same word. He's echoing the sentiments that David had. Now, when we look at David's life, didn't he pursue peace? Many times he could have killed Saul. Many times. And some of his mighty men was like, Yahweh delivered Saul into your hands. Let's kill him. But David said, no. I'm not going to kill him because he's the anointed of Yahweh. So I'm not going to do that. But to let him know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to cut a little corner off his cape or something like that, letting him know what's what. And I don't have no beef with you. He did everything that he could to be peaceable with this man. And show Yahweh, because he was doing everything he could do to be peaceable with this man because he had peace with Yahweh. I don't have no beef with your anointed, Abba. I don't know what's going on with him, but, you know, you anointed him, and me and you, I'm going to let you handle it. Right? So David knows these things, and he pursued peace. And he got it. It didn't come right then and there, because David led a hard life. You know, it was times where he was in front of the other kings of the world, and he had to act crazy. It was times that he had to fight. And he fought. But eventually he died and he was peaceable. At the end of his life, he was passing on words to his sons. Well, his son Solomon, giving him instruction, giving him, letting him know some things. And eventually, the peace came to David. His peace was always there with Yahweh. Even though he went through the trials and tribulations, he never took his mind off the Most High. Did he do right all the time? No. Because Abba even says, look, as far as Bathsheba and Uriah, you were wrong. And that's a blemish on you, man. You was wrong. But he repented. And he tried to do things and make things correct with the Most High, because he understood that his peace was at. A lot of times, we look for things outside of Yahweh to give us peace. And not saying that they don't play a part. They don't play a part in it. Because just fellowship, just being around your brothers and your sisters, right? And y'all just having some time, you know, and y'all just chilling and everything, that's very peaceable, you know? It's very peaceable. And Yahweh sees that, and he causes his peace to fall upon you, you know? So, next verse. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 6. And it reads. Now, if you read above it, it's talking about you know, this is the book of Devil Ring. This is Moshe recounting some of the experiences, right? And then he got to talking about Balaam and all this and everything that happened and how Balaam tried to curse Israel, but Yahweh turned all his curses into blessings. Then he gets to this part right here, and it says, he says, thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Right? Whose peace, and listen to what he's saying. Don't seek other people's peace, other people's prosperity forever. Now, when he says this, what did he mean by that? At face value, we just talking about, you know, these other nations that's coming in. Now, don't seek peace and prosperity and all the things that they're offering and this, that, and another that they're offering you. Don't seek after that. Don't pursue after that, right? Why does my phone keep doing that? Cutting back and forth. Don't seek after their peace, their prosperity. And, you know, that's what it means. But when we look up the word seek in this verse, number 1875, in the Hebrew section, this word is darash. And it means, it says properly, to tread or frequent. So don't tread or frequent their prosperity. Don't try to always be in peace with them, right? Don't frequent it. And, you know, and the way they say frequent, they mean visit. It's just like visiting, right? It says usually to follow for pursuit. So don't follow after the prosperity or their peace. It says by implication to seek or to ask. It says don't ask or seek for it, but then it says specifically to worship. Now, what does he mean by that? So when you get into worship, now you ain't really talking about these human beings that you seeking this prosperity with. No, you're talking about these deities now. And that's the problem of Israel. They always had that. They went seeking the peace of Ashtaroth. They went seeking the peace of the Baalim. They went seeking the peace of Baal Peor, and the list goes on and on, all the way up to now where they're seeking Jesus peace, they're seeking Allah peace, they're seeking Vishnu peace, and then whoever. They're seeking the peace of science. But they're not seeking the King of Peace, the one who brings you peace. And they wonder why their lives have been such an uproar. Now, I'm not saying that the life of a believer ain't going to get into an uproar. Yes, we're going to go through our trials and our tribulations. Why? I've said we have to. We're going to have our trials and we're going to have our tribulations. But we understand, okay, this is just, we should understand and we should come to this reality. And if you haven't, Father, then I'm going through this. It's only going to happen for a moment, and it's only for my betterment. Right? He chastens the ones he loves. So this chastisement, the chastisement is in love. The tribulation that we're going to go through and the tribulation that we have to go through is, one, to build our experience, two, to build our patience, three, to bring forth those fruits of the Spirit. It's for our betterment, and it's only going to happen for a season. But we don't even want the season to we don't want the season to ever happen. You know, here's the crazy thing, and this is something that I would just showed me in my mind. Everybody loves the spring. Spring coming out, we're about to go outside, have a nice time, and this, that, and other. You know, people going to be fellowshipping in the park today. Summer going to come, same thing going to happen. Fall going to come, same thing going to happen. But that wintertime, nobody likes that. Nobody likes the bitterness and the coldness of the winter. Nobody likes it. It's, they're like, oh, man, it's woo, so dangerous, so this, that, and another. But it's a time. It's an appointed time. I will appoint it the winter, too. He appointed this, and it's for our good. It's a part of this ecosystem that we call life. The cold and the bitterness of winter. The frost that gets us on the ground and on the ground and it's a danger for us sometimes. You know, when you're dealing with ice and you're dealing with the sleet and the slush and this, that, and another. But guess what? It's only for a season. It's not as cold as it was. It's been 70 degrees the last couple of days. Nice outside. You know, my brother came by. Brother Yaquel came by. We sat on the porch, we listened to music, had a nice time, talking and everything, had a ball. You know, it's been a couple times, Brother Mario came by, Yario came by, Chevelle came by, everybody, they came out, you know, and I dragged myself out on the porch. Stayed out there as long as I could, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, my back was hurting, so I had to go in a couple times, and my hip might have been hurting. But I enjoyed the times, you know, with my brothers. You know, as it gets warmer, these times come. But, you know, when it's cold like that, everybody is like, oh, man, I wish we could get to the park. Oh, I wish we could get to the park. That season over with. You know? That season over with. And everything in our life is a season. And we just have to learn to accept it. And when we learn to accept things and accept things that's going on, then we can find peace. Then we can find peace. Don't get bitter. Don't let that harden not your hearts. And he keeps on telling us this. Harden not your hearts. And, you know, we look at it in such different ways, but, you know, sometimes we just have to take that and look at it in every way. You know, don't let your mind get closed off or you catch feelings over. And even if you do catch feelings, it's okay to explode. It's all right to get upset. Moses got upset. Moses went to Yahweh, said, Yahweh, I don't know what to do with these people. They about to stone me. I'm so sick of them. All right, Moses, this was going to happen. I want you to go to this rock. I want you to speak to this rock, and it's going to give you some water. Moshe went to that rock. He said, do I have to bring water from this rock? Y'all renegades, y'all rebels, y'all Negroes are making me so upset. And he popped the rock twice. And I'll just say, whoa, you didn't sanctify me in front of the congregation of Israel. So you're not going over. But if we look at what happened, what he said before, Moses was part of that people who wasn't going over anyway. He said nobody from that first generation was going over. Nobody. And Joshua and Caleb They were younger men. You know? They were younger men. He said, save these two. They were younger men. Somebody still had to lead. You still had to have a man of renown to lead the people that sat under the man of renown, who Joshua was, Yahushua was, the son of Nun. So make sure we make that distinction, Yahushua, the son of Nun. Right? So, again, Moshe exploded. He had that moment. Boom! It happened. And Yahweh was like, look, son, I'm going to have to punish you for this. But guess what? That's still Yahweh's man. Nothing changed, even to the point when Yahushua HaMashiach walked the earth. He said they sit in Moshe's seat. His honor and his authority was still there. Yahweh didn't take nothing from him. He said, look, you didn't sanctify me. I didn't take nothing from him, though. Moshe's authority, nowhere do you find anything. No, don't listen to Moshe no more. Mm-mm. Everything he said now is null and void because he didn't sanctify me in front of Yisrael. No, you don't hear that. So it's okay to explode. I need you to explode to show that little show to bring the stuff out of you. Me, when I went through all that I'm going through, when I thought I couldn't walk no more, he needed me to get into that dark state of depression and say to him, I want to walk. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. He needs to pull these things out. Your words say this. Your words say that. Okay, I hear you. You're right. My word, you say all that. Now watch me do it. Watch me perform the things that you asked of me. You know? Because the thing is, he needs us to get into, you know, not into a depression, but for lack of a better terms, be real with him. Sometimes when we in those quote unquote real situations, you know, like the brother always gave the analogy about what faith is. Faith ain't when your cabinet's full, your refrigerator full, and you can just open up the door, choose what you want to eat. No, faith is when your cabinet's empty, your refrigerator's empty, and you know Abba is going to provide for you. See, but sometimes if the cabinet ain't never empty, how you going to know it? If the refrigerator always full, how you going to know it? So we have to go through. He says some people are going to be able to go through the fire. Some people I can take through the water. But either way, you're going to go through something. Some things are going to be a little harsher than others. Will you find peace within that when you go through it? Will you still have that peace? Because if you learn to accept it, and I'm telling you from my personal experience, I'm telling you what Dale Wells is going through. If you learn to accept it and you can do it, you will have peace. You will start to see things differently. You truly will. You know, but you gotta seek it. It gotta be something that you want. You know, it got to be something that you want. So Again, but it's say, don't seek that peace. Don't go seeking after the pieces of these other deities, because it ain't there. It ain't there. They have none. Have nothing to offer you. Now, the book of Ezra, chapter 9, starting at verse 9. I hope everybody following me. Ezra 9:9, and we're going to verse 12. So Ezra chapter 9, starting at verse 9, and it reads, "For we were bondmen, yet our Elohim have not forsaken us in our bondage." Now it's talking about see, Israel been in bondage a whole bunch of times. We got to be specific. That's funny. It's funny, but it's true. And it's like, oh, nobody wants to nobody wants to admit this. We've been hard-headed our whole lives. This particular bondage he's talking about is when they were in Persian bondage, when Cyrus came to take over, right? And so now, as was talking, he says, "For we were bondmen, yet our Elohim hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our Elohim, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Yehuda and in Jerusalem." So he said a lot right there. He said, in our bondage, this way these things was coming. What are we supposed to be doing in this bondage? He says, the first thing he says, give us a reviving. Now, if you look up this word reviving, right? The word is in the Hebrew, number 42, 4241. And that word is mikah. And it means a preservation of life. Hence, sustenance. Also, the live flesh, that is the quick. Something that is live when it says the quick. It's like they move the quick and the dead. But, you know, the quick, they was talking about quick as in being fast. But the quick means, a quicken means something that is alive, something that moves, because the dead don't move. Everybody can outrun the dead guy, even me, right? It don't move. But it says the quick, it says it's from in Hebrew 24:21, and that word is kaya, right? And it means to live. Primitive root means to live, whether literally or figuratively, causably, to revive. So when he says, and this is nothing but the word mikah is nothing but chaya, or the word chaya is life with the mem in front of it. And we understand when we put that mem in front of it, it says it turns that word life into a place of life. So this is where he's going. It says, to give us a revive, or give us a place of life. When we went into those bondages, it was not for our death. It was for our life. The soul purpose, even when you think about the soul purpose that Abba sent Israel down into Egypt in the first place, is because it was a famine in the land. It was life down in Egypt. So what did he do? He sent Joseph ahead, sold as a bondman, to prepare life for Israel. Right? And when Israel entered the land, they were at peace for one time. Right? As long as Joseph was around, They were at peace. Wasn't nobody bothering the Israelites, even though they hated them. The Egyptians still hated Israel, even when Joseph was around. But they had a place of life. That sentiment didn't change after Joseph passed away. After he passed away, he gave up that ghost, and now somebody who didn't know Joseph comes onto the scene. Then the cruelty came. Then the labor and the hard hardships came. Right? All to show us life with the Messiah is a lot greater than life without him. Again, we find ourselves in captivity again. This time it's the Persians. He says it just like a reviving. And think about what he said when Israel went back. When you get down into Egypt, right there, I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, guess what he's doing right here? Listen to some more of the instructions, right? He said to give us a reviving, to set up houses. To set up the house of our Elohim. Sorry, I didn't read the whole thing the first time. To give us a reviving, to set up the house of our Elohim, and to repair the desolations thereof. So what are we supposed to be doing within this bondage? How do we find peace, and how do we find peace within this bondage? When we're setting up the house of Elohim, now we know a little bit further, because as David said, thy Torah has made us wiser, has made me wiser than those that were before me. So we got a little bit more. And we understand that the house of Elohim wasn't made with stone and mortar, but it's us. So what are we doing in our lives? Our life is the house of Elohim. And in this bondage, we're supposed to be building, like, didn't it say building? Set up. And if you look at the word set up, that word, number 7311, room, to be high, to raise up. So we're supposed to raise up the house of Elohim while we're in this bondage. And it says, and repair the desolations thereof, because why? We were born in iniquity. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, it says. And that's been taught to us. You know, the brother Yaquel, through the Spirit of Yahweh, has told us when we got here, this world system was already here. Christianity was already here. And we came, and a lot of us have come through the way of Christianity. A lot of us came and have come through the way of Islam. But when you find the truth, what are we doing now? Now we are repairing the desolations that's been there, because those false deities caused the house of Yahweh to be desolate. When we hold on to those teachings and those falsehoods, it causes Abba's house, the house of Yahushua, to be desolate. And we can't find peace with it, because we're at war with his Torah. Because we want to hold on to things. We want to hold on to even those things. And, you know, we give them the little excuse, oh, it's for the kids. I don't see nothing the matter with it. It's just a time of celebration. I don't see nothing the matter with it. It's cool with me. Everybody else doing it. But we're not called to do what everybody else do. We're not called to make peace and seek the peace of these other deities. Because that's what they, that's the part that they're missing. Whether they like it or not, when this Easter comes, they are celebrating the deity, Astra, whether they like it or not. That's her day. That is her day. So, again, we're supposed to be seeking the peace of Yahweh. So, again, he says, set up the house of Almighty One, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Yehuda and in Jerusalem. Verse 10, it says, and now, O Almighty One, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, even though you showed us mercy. This is what Ezra is saying. You showed us mercy. While we are in this captivity. So you did all this. You gave us a way to set up this house again for you and repair the things that's been going wrong. He said, what have we done? You've forsaken your command. What can we say? He says, and now, O Elohim, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments. Verse 11, which thou hast commanded by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Verse 12, he says, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. So he says, don't seek their peace and don't seek their wealth. Don't seek it. You know? Don't marry into it. He says, don't marry into it. These things that the world has to offer you. Right? Don't let that become your peace. The world, the good that the world has to offer you. Right? Now remember, he said this because we're going to keep some things in perspective because we got to keep some things in perspective. Right? He's not saying you can't be rich. He's not saying you can't be blessed and he's not going to bless you with wealth and this, that, and that. He's not saying all that. But don't let that be your peace, is what he's saying. Don't let that be your pursuit. That's what he's saying. Let's continue. Next verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 9. Jeremiah 29. What was it? Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 9. And it reads, and this is going on again. Remember, we're still talking about us being in bondage. Something else, I persist. And how we can find peace within this bondage. See, I'm going to just let him say this. Jeremiah 29, verse 4, it says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives. He talked to all slaves. So if you think you captives, no matter where you at, whether it be Babylon or Babylon again or Babylon again, America, wherever you are captive, listen to what Abba got to say. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Let me stop right there for a second. What does Jerusalem mean? Jerusalem means founded in peace, right? Number 3-3 in the Hebrew section, number 3-3-8-9, right? Word, Yerushalayim. It means founded in peace, right? It says probably, right? Because the word, the first section of it comes from the word Yerah. It says to throw or shoot in number 3384. And it says properly to flow as water. So you can say founded in peace or flowing of peace. Right? But then he says you're going to Babylon. And Babylon, number 8, in the Hebrew section, number 894, that word is Babel. That means confusion by mixing, right? So he took you from one part. I caused this. I caused you to flow from peace to confusion. And you're captured in this. You're the captives of this. Why? Because you're hard-headed. So I'm going to allow this to happen. And you are literally going to move from a place of peace to a place of confusion. And he says, I caused this. Why? And we learned how he removed that hedge from Israel, because that's what Israel wanted. Cause the mighty one to cease from before us, is what they said. Prophesy to us lies. Prophesy to us smooth things. That's what this, that was the decree from Israel to Yahweh. Okay. You want to live a lie? No problem. Let me move this in. And you literally went from a place of peace to confusion. Right? So he says this, verse 5. He says, let me read verse 4 again. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon or Babel. Verse 5. Build ye houses. Wait a minute. He's telling you why you're in this confusion and why you captives. Build houses. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. In other words, live your life. Go down there and grow. Because right now, what's going on is some things is going to happen. He's going to make another decree, too, that we're going to read. Right? But what he's saying, hold up. I'm causing this, but I'm not going to leave you desolate. I got a place for you to live within this captivity, right? He says, He said, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7, he says, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto Yahweh. See? Seek the peace of the city, but pray or worship Yahweh. And that's the problem. People are seeking the peace of the city, and they trying to figure out all this stuff that's going on, but nobody's consulting Yahweh. Nobody's worshiping Yahweh. So all the peace that you are seeking is either short-lived or is false. Well, number one, it's false in the beginning. Number two, if it is a little bit of peace, it's short-lived. It's not founded on anything, right? But he says, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away, and pray unto Yahweh for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. So as long as Abba, see, and that's the thing. Yes, we're captive. Yes, we're a minority. Yes, the world hates us. Yes, we're public enemy number one. Yes, we're menace to societies. Check off everything bad that the world can say about us. But at the end of the day, if Yah is for us, who can stand against us? It's better that we, that Yah be for us than the whole world against us. That's what the words say. So don't hate Baltimore. Pray. We live in one of the most violent cities in the United States of America. Pray for the peace of Baltimore. Abba, look down here within this city and see the ones that belong to you and protect them. Let this place calm down. Let the peace, let your peace fall upon this city where we are. You know? Do we do that enough? I'm guilty of not doing it. Again, lessons are for the teachers first. And I will readily admit, I don't pray for the peace of the city. I cut the news off. I get tired of hearing about the killings. I get tired of hearing about now it's to the point where old men, old women, even children, I get sick. Nothing sickens me more than to hear about the death of a two-year-old or a three-year-old. Not that any life is more important than another, don't get me wrong, but they ain't even get a chance. Or you got somebody that is, quote-unquote, at death's door, a 90-year-old person, an 80-year-old person, getting raped and beaten, this, that, and all these different things that's happening to people. I get tired of hearing about it. Then you got the people who are supposed to be protecting the city and protecting the citizens, and they corrupt. Criminals with badges, like the brother said, organized crime is the Baltimore City Police Department, to the point where you got the daggone the attorney general, the state's attorney, on trial herself. Corruptions from top to bottom. How can there be any peace? Well, I would say we can still find peace within that. Pray for the city. Pray for wherever you are. Turn to Abba and look for it. Seek after it. And don't add to it. We, us as believers, we can't add to the confusion. We can't do the railing for railing and this, that. No. We seek the peace of the city. We're here. He wants us to seek the peace of the city. He says, pray unto Yahweh for it, for in the peace thereof you shall have, therefore thereof shall ye have peace. If the city is chilling, so are we. That's what he's saying. Father gives his peace to the city. He gives it to us. And again, that's something that I'm going to have to get better at, you know. But again, growth, as we learn, apply. As you learn, apply. Verse 8, he says, for thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Yisrael, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. Don't let these false prophets deceive you, and don't you deceive yourself, thinking you can find this peace outside of me. Please don't. Verse 9, he says, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith Yahweh. So again, like the echo has been saying over and over again, you know, we have to continue. We got to pray to Abba. We got to turn our eye to Abba. We got to seek his peace, seek it, and pursue what he wants for us, right? And all that encompasses everything, you know? It encompasses everything. It encompasses every aspect of our life. So, Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 2 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 2 through 10. And it reads, thus saith Yahweh, he that remaineth in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. So he told him, the prophet told him, go down within this captivity. I'm going to make a way for you. Just like I did in Egypt, just like I did in Persia, just like I did, who else had us? The Assyrians had us. Rome had us. A little bit later, Greece had us. We never died. America got us now. We still ain't dead. And in each part, he is building his nation. Little by little, building his nation. But what do you say? You got some people who want to buck the system. He says, those that remained in the city, those that don't want to, you want to fight? No problem. You're going to die by the sword. And if you don't die by the sword, you're going to die by the famine. And if you don't die by the famine, you're going to die by pestilence. He says, but he that go forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for you shall have, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Look, he ain't saying it's going to be easy. It's like what the brother said with that gazelle. You know, the prey is trying to outrun the lions and this, that, and another. Some going to get caught. but there are still deers. There are still antelopes. There are still gazelles. There are still all these different preys. Even though you got all these predators out there, the prey has not died. They're not gone nowhere. Verse 3, it says, thus saith Yahweh, this city shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it, that city being Jerusalem. He says, therefore the princes and unto, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. They didn't want to listen to the brother telling you to turn, do what Yahweh said. What did he say? The princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in the city. Look, he's scaring the troops. He's causing doubt within the troops that they can't win. Even though they can't win. Even though they can't win. Everybody talked about all these different rebellions that went on as far as when slavery went on and everything. But slavery went on. It continued to go on. And no matter where we went, the effects of it went on. You built something, got burnt down. What if Yahweh had his hand in it? What if Yahweh had his hand in it? It says, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Telling them the truth was the hurt. Telling them to turn to Yahweh. See, this is how the world is going to view the man of Yahweh. This is how he's going to view him. Verse 5, he says, then Zedekiah, the king, said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not that he can do anything against you. Then took they, Jeremiah, but the king didn't speak up for me. He says, then took they, verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him in the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek. That was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon, there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah soaked in the mire. So he put him in a mud pit. And they had to let him down. That's how deep the pit was. He says, he soak in the mire. Verse 7. Now when Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. So let me stop for a second. And this is going to go to a point that one of Yahushua's you're going to look at one of Yahushua's parables, right? Abed-Melech, number 5663 in Hebrew section, and it's really Abed-Melech, servant of the king, right? Because we know Obadiah, servant of Yah. Well, Obed-Melech was the servant of the king. just happens to be an Ethiopian and a eunuch. Right? He hears about what's going on with Jeremiah, and, you know, this is somebody outside of Israel. Israel turned on the prophet, but there were people outside of Israel who understood who Jeremiah was, who when they hear certain things, Abba picks it on for them. So don't be scared to go down those nations. I can, what do you say, the king's heart is in my hand, and I can turn it whichever so way I feel. Right? This Yahweh said that. That's in one of the Proverbs, I believe. It's in either Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. I can't remember. I'll find it for you. It says, Abimelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king, then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, verse 8, Abimelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my master, the king, these men have done evil in all that have done to Jeremiah. So you got an Ethiopian eunuch doing something that the king of Israel didn't do. The Ethiopian eunuch is supporting the prophet. When the king of Israel, Zedekiah, go back. Number 6667, Zedekiah, Yah is righteous, or righteous in Yah, the righteousness of Yah. He didn't support the prophet. But one of Ham's kids did. Proverbs 21:1, Toda Aki, go there for 1 second. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of Yahweh as the rivers of waters. He turns it whithersoever he will. So, hey, the king's heart, I've got this. Right? So now he said, I can turn it whichever way I want to. So the Ethiopian eunuch, the people, if Abba sees so fit, he's going to have people outside of Israel helping us, even to slavery. It wasn't a whole bunch of white people, whole bunch of Caucasians, helped with the abolishment of slavery, helped with the Underground Railroad, hid slaves, and such, the Holocaust. A whole bunch of Germans help the Jews. And, you know, that's, and I'm saying that, but for me, there's more one people. But we got people who were our quote-unquote enemies who saw us as lesser and the such. And then, you know, you can look at it the same way in the German with the Holocaust, but those who tried, how the world looks at us, he still had people helping us. Had people from other nations going to bat for us. So you got the all right. So, like you said, the king's hand is in his way. Abimelech, I'm going back to verse 9. Sorry about that, fam. Verse 9 says, my master, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast in the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is. For there is no more bread in the city. You know, this man is worried about this its welfare. Huh? So even though he's an Ethiopian eunuch, what is he seeking? Is he seeking the will of Yahweh? Is he showing this compassion and this love and everything that we're supposed to be shown as servants of the Most High? Verse 10, it says, then the king commanded Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Abed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast cloths and old rotten rags and let them down by cords unto the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast cloths and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did. I'm supposed to stop at 10. But y'all get the picture. In verse 13, so they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So he didn't want nothing bad to happen to Jeremiah. And again, this is an Ethiopian. So Abba can sway the hearts of whoever he so feel like it. He has that ability. He has that power. Right? Excuse me. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And this just so happens to be another Ethiopian eunuch. So Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, it says, and the angel of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So, it's not a surprise. Right? And Abba is great at giving his own explanations at why the Ethiopian would come up to Jerusalem to worship in the first place. When we see him way back in Jeremiah that this man followed Yahweh. He learned something from Jeremiah. You think Jeremiah didn't impart some of the wisdom of Yahweh onto these Ethiopian eunuchs who saved his life? The fact that he even knew what was going on, oh, that they put Jeremiah in prison? Mm-mm. Jeremiah was somebody that he knew already. His renown had went for. He was like, nah. We can't see nothing bad happening to this man. Right? So now you got another Ethiopian unit up at Jerusalem worshiping. Worshiping Yahweh. Verse 28, it says, and came to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read, it says, Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You understand what you're reading, man? Do you get it? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Look, man, I don't get it. I need somebody to explain this to me. Do you get it? If you understand this, come up here and tell me what it's about. Because I want to know. I am seeking Yahweh. So those who are seeking Yahweh are going to want that understanding. They're not going to take the man of Yahweh and throw him in jail. But again, this is an Ethiopian where a lot of Israel rejected the teachings of Philip. Well, not Philip's teachings, but Philip teaching Yahushua. Israel rejected it, but this Ethiopian wanted it. He was seeking it. Verse 32, he says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before him, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom the prophet, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? So, okay, let's do this real quick. Because, one second. I believe this is Psalms 22. I don't remember right. Is this Psalms 22? All right. Does anybody know what Psalms this is? Give me a text real quick, just to make a quick point. See, because some people, see, the fact that the eunuch asked this question, the eunuch asked him, he said, I pray thee, of whom, all right, it says, the place in, I'm sorry, I'm looking at it wrong. It's in Isaiah, it's not Psalms. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 53. Okay. See, just that quick because my mind went somewhere else. But, yeah, it's Isaiah 53. Now, it's Isaiah 53. I didn't mean to say Psalms. I meant to say which chapter and Isaiah because it says we were reading out of the thing of Isaiah, right? Now, if you go there, it says, who has believed our report, Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 1 says, who has believed our report, and whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed, where he shall grow up before him, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, that's Isaiah 53. The fact that the eunuch asks him these questions, because there's a teaching going around about Isaiah 53 being Israel, or being Isaiah himself. But when the eunuch asked him something, he asked him this. He says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? So he's talking about, he's asking Philip, who is Isaiah talking about within that verse? Now, it's not just talking about that one little part. All of chapter 53 is describing the same person. Right? It says, whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? So he asked him, was Isaiah talking about himself, or was he talking about somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yahushua. So no, Isaiah was not talking about himself. If you believe this, and it's a lot of people who go to this and talk about the New Testament, but here's your answer. No, it wasn't talking about Isaiah. And no, he wasn't talking about Israel. No, he wasn't. Let's see. He says, let me just go read this part first. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yahushua. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and see the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? So, no, he wasn't talking about Yahushua either. I mean, he wasn't talking about Israel either, because he's talking about a soul being given up for the sins of many. So he wasn't talking about Israel. He's talking about as one man. Is he talking about himself or some other man? Not tribe, not nation. No, he's talking about the souls of one man as a sheep. That's what he said. It's one individual giving up their life, giving up their soul, which is pleasing to Yahweh. He was bruised. He was pleased to bruise him. For our, see, even, it's a difference within the word. And if you just take just the simple, basic English, it's not talking about a whole nation of people giving up all their souls for the transgression of their self. Even when you look at the Torah, even look at why the sacrificial system was added, he said it was added because of transgressions. He used an animal to pay for the transgressions of a human. Something else besides yourself had to pay for your transgressions. And so he said it wasn't possible for the bulls and goats to pay for your transgressions, and it was also impossible for ourselves to pay for our own transgressions. So Israel didn't pay for their own transgressions. Yahushua had to pay for the transgressions of Israel and the whole world. He had to. So when people look at this and they're not seeing that it's a messianic prophecy, it's because they're blinded. It's because they don't want to see, because some people truly and honestly believe that it's talking about Israel, and they will fight it tooth and nail. And it's sad that they don't see it. Not to go on the off topic, because again, we are still seeking peace, but we have to seek it through Yahushua. He can't be left out the equation. He is the fulfillment. He is the wholeness. He is the completion. Right? But getting back to 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began on the same scripture and preached unto him Yahushua. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yahushua, a Mashiach, is the son of Yah, period. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of Yahweh caught up Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So, back to the original point. This eunuch right here that we're dealing with, Philip, again, he's an Ethiopian. He's somebody outside the nation of Israel, but he was looking to serve Yahushua. He was looking to serve the God of Israel. All right? So he has people, and he will turn the hearts of people when need be. People outside of Israel. Right? Now, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Taking all that into consideration. Again, where do we find our peace? What are we seeking? Where are we seeking? Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. And this is one of the, you know, this is how we keep everything in perspective, everything you just heard about not seeking the peace and all that stuff of the world and seeking the peace of Yah. Everything that we just said add this to it and keep this into consideration into everything that he's saying. Read chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, so this is Yahushua speaking. He's giving them a parable. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for you may be no longer a steward. So you got a rich guy, and this man was handling his money, and he was accused of wasting his money. The rich man says, look, you're going to have to show me some stuff. Show me your records, or else I'm firing you. Right? Verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. This is what I do. I can't do this hard labor, and I can't beg. I've too much pride to beg. Says, verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. So he keep all this in mind. And remember, add this to everything, right? Verse 5, so he called everyone of his master's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he unto another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the master commended. And remember, this is a teaching moment. And the master commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. How can being crooked be wise? Is Yahushua tripping? But listen what he says. He said, and the master commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So this is something that, this is a principle that the children of darkness or worldly people get, that the children who follow Yahushua, we don't get this, the children of light. We don't get this. We don't get this particular principle that Yahushua is teaching right now, right? Because of the way we see things. But again, he came to magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Listen, verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, he's still talking, I'm saying unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteous. Wait a minute. Scratching my head right now. Be friends. Make to yourself friends with the people who got money, even if they are unrighteous. What? But here's the explanation why. He says, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteous, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous, who will commit to you your trust in the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? So he's not saying, and this is where you got a friend with some money and they out there having a nice lifestyle. Say you got a friend who owns a yacht and he gives parties on the yacht. I'm not saying you can't go to that party. I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself. But is it sin within that? Stay away from it. I'm not saying that you can't have was Louis the 14th. Man, I got you some Louis for offering you some expensive drink or some expensive food. I'm not saying that you can't eat it, as long as it's kosher, as long as it's permissible to eat. I'm not saying go out here, eat lobster, go eat crab. Those are things that we cannot eat. But if a man give you a $400 steak, just make sure it's cooked thoroughly. Make sure there's no blood in it nowhere. Abba is not saying that we cannot enjoy life while we are seeking after him. What he's saying is, while you're seeking after me, you know, you don't, because we are seeking after him, we will learn to enjoy life more. That's what's really being said. When we seek after Abba, and we know what we're supposed to do, we learn to enjoy life more. Now, I'm not saying you got to be around. If you know somebody out there shooting people or killing people, don't be around them, you know, because you got to be wise with it too. Also, don't be around a dude that's out there, a hitman or something like that, but that's your friend. But you know somebody's going to come back and try to kill him. You might get hit for being around him. So you have to use your discernment. But Abba is not saying that you can't have rich friends. You can't do nice things and still, because if you do nice things, you're not seeking after him. I'm not saying that. You know, he's not saying that. Not saying that you can't, if you earn you a nice amount of money that you can't enjoy your money, you got to give it all to the homeless. You got to give up. You don't have to do that. While it's your money, it's your enjoy what to enjoy with it. He allowed you to earn it. You know? And you don't just push away. He commended this man. He said, man, that was a really smart move. You knew I was going to fire you. So what you do, change the books. So that way, because as my brother said, fair exchange is no robbery. I helped you out. Let me get some money on the back end. You know, he said that was wise. He did. Why would Yahushua say that? He said, this is a concept that the children of darkness get, the children of this world get, that we don't get. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to comprehend that. He's saying about the people who follow after. You know? And that's what I mean by keeping everything in proportion and perspective. And that's what Abba is opening us up and leading us and guiding us to. You know? Because is the Bible contradicting itself from some of the things that we read before? Don't seek after their wealth. Don't do, you know, the things that we read in Devarim. Is it contradicting itself? Or is it something more to it? Because, again, we're not supposed to worship their wealth. Some people will do anything for their wealth. Don't love that money. Don't let it rule you. But let that peace and let that shalom you seeking after Abba, let that rule you. It's not saying you can't enjoy your life. We don't have to, we're not sticking the muds, you know, and he don't want you to be a stick in the mud. You know, we can dance, we can have joy, we can do all these things, we can partake of it, but we don't allow it to rule us. All right? Last verse, y'all. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it possible, as much as lies in, live peaceably with all men. And that's the end. Oh, no, it ain't. Dearly beloved, sorry, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahweh. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Seek the peace of Yahweh, y'all. And you're absolutely right. Chabel chimed in. We have to be mindful and not be deceptive, not envy the oppressor. Proverbs 23:17. That's right. We should not envy the oppressor. And that goes into loving this wealth. See, because when you, if you envy the oppressor and you want to be like the oppressor, you're not being like Yahweh. You're following the image of the oppressor. And that's something that we don't want to do. All right? So, family, that's the end of the Torah portion. If you have any questions, shoot them on the line, and we will definitely answer them, me and my brothers, because I recruit. I am a master recruiter. Have my brothers and myself go and consult Abba upon anything. So we're going to close out. Blessed be you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words has turned back to its origins unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we thank you once again for giving us the breath of life, for giving us another Shabbat hour, and for just setting this time apart for us. Father, the Son, Child, and Abba, Daughter and Abba, too, and not forgetting the sisters. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for the joys of life, Father. We thank you for the sorrows of life, Father. We thank you for acceptance, you know, above all things, Abba. Your will be done above all things, Abba. We understand. We pray that we get that understanding and pray that we have your mind, Father, that we learn more of you and accept that it's for our good, whatever we go through. Every moment is a teaching moment in your eyes. And sometimes we don't like the lesson, but that don't mean you don't love us. Sometimes we might not like the outcomes of things, but that don't mean you don't love us. You know, I'm sorry for all the things that I said and my anger and my bitterness. And I pray that you remove the bitterness from my heart and everyone's heart. Is there any bitterness or hardness, Father, that affects us and affects the relationship that we have, Father? I pray that we continue to get closer and closer spiritually, mentally, even physically, Father. One day we are face to face. Can't wait for that day, Abba. Pray to continue just strengthen us, Father, especially our Ema. You continue to bring her forth, and anyone else who's hurting mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father, give them the answers that they're looking for, Father, and be according to your will, the answers that they need, Father. Not so much what they want, but what they need. Because we all looking for an answer to something. Father, I ask that you allow your spirit to rest upon our brother, Ahabel, I believe, who's going to bring forth your word. If it's not Ahabel, I got it wrong. Whichever Moray is next, Father. Put your spirit within them and continue to lead them and guide them through your word that they may edify us and teach us, Father, and grow us however it is that you want us to grow, Father. We are the vine. You are the husbandman. Grow us, water us, tend to us, purge us, Father. Make us be fruitful and useful for you. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Hope Abba continues to lead and guide you.
Your hands on me, and now. even though